Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim Daf Yud Gimel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a Braisa that when the 14th falls on Shabbos, Mevarin has to come with Nei Shabbos. We dispose of everything before Shabbos. V'sorfin Trumas Tameos Tuyos V'Tahoros, and we burn Chametz Truma foods that are Tamei suspended and Tahor, and we leave over enough Tahor food for two meals, enough to eat through the first 4 hours of the day. These are the words of Elazar ben Yehuda Ishbartos, who said it in the name of Yeshua. The Chami said to him that the Tahor Truma should not be burned, for perhaps people can eat them, will be found. When Elazar said they looked for people to eat the Chametz, but couldn't find them, so there's no point to holding on to it, they replied that perhaps they stayed overnight outside the wall. So he responded, in that case, they should not burn the Safek Tamei Truma, since Eliyahu might come and rule that they're a Tahor. And they responded that we have a tradition. She'ein Eliyahu ba lo bar bi Shabbosos v'lo bar bi Yom Tovim p'nei Torah. That Eliyahu will not arrive at Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov because of the difficulties it would impose on people who have to interrupt their preparations to greet Eliyahu. Point number two, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav that the halacha is a group of Yehuda that we suspend the chametz during the fourth hour in that it cannot be eaten, but it does not need to be destroyed. The Gemara cites the support for Rav Nachman from an incident with Yochanan Chalkukal, who was given a saddlebag full of chametz as a deposit. When mice pierced the bag Erev Pesach and the chametz was leaking out, he asked Rebbe what he should do, and he was told to wait during the first 4 hours. Rashi explains that the owner might come and eat his chametz before it becomes prohibited. In the fifth hour, Rebbe told him to sell it to the market. The Gemara initially assumes and then confirms that Rebbe meant he should sell it to Nachrim in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, who holds chametz is prohibited after the fourth hour. And point number three, the Mishnah on Yud Alf Amud Bey state that two chalas psulos, two pasul chalas that were brought with the carbon toda, are placed on the itztaba, a bench on the Har Habayis. As long as they were placed there, everyone ate chametz. When one was removed, they would suspend chametz, meaning they would not eat it or burn it. When both were removed, they burned the chametz. The Gemara Amud Bey here asks how they became pasul, and Rabbi Chinina said, Mitok she yumarubos nipsalos bolina, because there were so many toda offerings brought the day before, they became invalidated by being left overnight. The Gemara goes on to explain that Torah offerings were not brought Erev Pesach when chametz is still permitted. She'ein levin kachim v'beis psul. We may not expose offerings to a situation where they will become pasul. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in the Braisa, the 14th falls on Shabbos. Mevarin esakol mifnei Shabbos. We dispose of everything before Shabbos. V'sorfin trumas tameos tulios toharos. And we burn chametz truma foods that are tamei suspended and tahor. And we leave over enough tahor of food for two meals, enough to eat through the first 4 hours of the day. These are the words of Elazar ben Yehuda Ishbartos, who said in the name of Yeshua. The Chachamim said to him that the Tahor Truma should not be burned, for perhaps people who can eat them will be found. When Elazar said they looked for people to eat the chametz, but couldn't find them, so there's no point to holding on to it, they replied that perhaps they stayed overnight outside the wall. He responded that in case they should not burn the Safek Tamei Truma, since Eliyahu might come and rule that they're Tahor. And they responded that we have a tradition. She'ein Eliyahu ba'al lo bar v'shabbosos, b'lo bar v'yamin tovim v'nei ha'torach, that Eliyahu would not arrive Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov because of the difficulties it would impose on people who have to interrupt their preparations to greet Eliyahu. Point number two, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that we suspend the chametz during the fifth hour in that it cannot be eaten, but it does not need to be destroyed. The Gemara cites a support for Rav Nachman from an incident with Yochanan Chakukah, who was given a saddlebag full of chametz as a deposit. When mice pierced the bag Erev Pesach and the chametz was leaking out, he asked Rebbe what he should do, and he was told to wait during the first 4 hours. Rashi explained that the owner might come and eat his chametz before it becomes prohibited. In the fifth hour, Rebbe told him to sell it to the market. The Gemara initially assumes and then confirms that Rebbe meant he should sell it to Nachrim in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, who holds chametz is prohibited after the fourth hour. And point number three, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Alef Amud Beis stated that two chalas psulos, two pasul chalas that were brought with the carbon toda, are placed on the itztaba, a bench on the Har Habayis. As long as they were placed there, everyone ate chametz. When one was removed, they would suspend chametz, meaning they would not eat it or burn it. And when both were removed, they burned the chametz. The Gemara Amud Beis here asks how they became pasul, and Rabbi Chanina said, "Mitok she yamarubos nipsalos bolina," because there were so many toda offerings brought the day before, they became invalidated by being left overnight. The Gemara goes on to explain that toda offerings were not brought erev Pesach when the chametz is still permitted. She'ein levin kachim v'beis psul. We may not expose offerings to a situation where they will become pasul. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Yud Gimel. Our standard siman is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy who ran to the crowded marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz bumped into a man with the chametz leaking out of his bag who was peering through his binoculars at the two chalas psulos placed on top of the itztaba. Once again, in slow motion. The bar mitzvah boy, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy who ran through the crowded marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz, which reminds us that according to Beleza ben Yehudi Ish Bar Tosa, when the 14th falls on Shabbos, we dispose of everything before Shabbos, and we burn chametz truma foods that are tamei suspended and tawar, and leave over enough tawar food for two meals, enough to eat through the first 4 hours of the day. The Chami said to him that the tawar truma should not be burned, for perhaps people can eat them, will be found. So the bar mitzvah boy who ran through the crowded marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz bumped into a man with chametz leaking out of his bag, which reminds us that the Gemara cites a support from Nachman, that the Lachazek of Yehuda that we suspend chametz in the fifth hour from the incident with Yochanan Chukkah and the Pikadon that was leaking chametz Erev Pesach. Rebbe told him to sell the chametz in the fifth hour to Nachrim in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, who holds chametz is prohibited after the fourth hour. So the bar mitzvah boy who ran through the crowded marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz bumped into a man with chametz leaking out of his bag, who was peering through his binoculars at the two chalas psulos placed on top of the itzibah, which reminds us that Rebbe Chanina said that the two chalas psulos placed on the itzibah were pasul mitoksha yamarubos nipsalos bolina, because there were so many todah offerings brought the day before, they became invalidated by being left overnight. The Gemara goes on to explain that todah offerings were not brought Erev Pesach when chametz is still permitted. She'aim levin kachim obeis psul. We may not expose offerings to a situation where they will become pasul. So once again, the bar mitzvah boy who ran through the crowded marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz bumped into a man with chametz leaking out of his bag, who was peering through his binoculars at the two chalas psulos placed on top of the itzibah. All right, now it's time for our four block back chazara. Daf Tes. So the simple Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The chulda spotted jumping out of a teapot. Teapot? That must mean we're on Daf Tes. The chulda spotted jumping out of a teapot, leaving some chametz behind, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that ain't choshishin shemagera chulda mabayasim makam makam. We're not concerned that a chulda dragged chametz from house to house or from place to place within the house. The Gemara says that this implies that we're not concerned for the possibility. But if we do indeed see a chulda bring chametz into a place that was already searched, then we do have to search again for the chametz in that area. The Gemara asks on this, v'amai neim al-chalti, why does another search have to be done? We should assume that the chulda ate the chametz. The Gemara brings a proof to this concept from a mission that said, that if a chulda enters a place where there might be a dead body buried there, we can assume that he ate it. Rabbi Zera answers, Habbasa habalechem. This one, the Mishnah discussing a dead body, is meat. And this one, our Mishnah that discusses chametz, is bread. A chulda completely finishes eating meat and leaves nothing over, but does not completely finish eating bread and leaves some over. Since a chulda leaves over bread, we have to search again if we see it bring chametz into an already checked area. So the chulda spotted jumping out of a teapot, leaving some chametz behind, didn't find the guard of chametz in the closet. Which reminds us, on this of the Mishnah states, we're not worried that a chulda will drag a piece of chametz from a non-checked area of the house into a checked area of the house. The Gemara asks that at the end of the Mishnah on Daf Yud Amud Beis, we learn, Mashem Mashayi Yanechenim Betzina, the chametz that one wants to leave over after a search for chametz, in order to eat it, he needs a place in a guarded place, Shol Yeh Tzarech Bedika Achrav, so that he will not need to do another Bedika, meaning that if one didn't place his chametz in a guarded place, we are concerned that a chulda would take it, and then one would have to do another search in his house. If so, why does our Mishnah say that we're not worried that a chulda will bring chametz from a non-checked area of the house into a checked area of the house? Abai explains that on the 13th, when there's chametz in every house, a chulda doesn't hide the chametz that he has because it's not worried that it will run out of food. And on the 14th, when the chametz is not found in every house, the chulda does hide the chametz. Therefore, on the 14th, we are concerned that the chulda took away the chametz and hid it. Rav and Rav Mari give two other answers. So the chulda spotted jumping out of a teapot, leaving some chametz behind, didn't find the guard of chametz in the closet. So he took some chametz from a pile next to matzah and scampered into a neighbor's home that had not yet done a bedika. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a case of one pile of matzah and one pile of chametz, and there are two houses there, one which was searched and one which was not. Two mice came, and one took from the pile of matzah and one took from the pile of chametz, and each one entered a different house, and we don't know which one entered which house. The Gemara says that this is comparable to a case of a brisa that says if there are two baskets, one full of chulin fruit and one full of fruits of truma, and next to them are two containers, one holding fruits of chulin and one holding fruits of truma, and each one of these containers fell into a different basket, then we assume that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. So too, in our case, we can assume that the chulda with the chametz dragged it into a house that was not checked, and the chulda with the matzah dragged the matzah into the house that was checked. The Gemara concludes that the Rabbanan were lenient because both cases involved the Rabbanan. Truma nowadays is a Rabbanan, and Bedikas Chametz is a Rabbanan.
Daf Yud. So the Simmer Daf Yud is a Minyan of Yidden. So here goes. The Minyan of Yidden. That must mean we're on Daf Yud. The minion of Yidden, who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into their Czech shul, which reminds us, the Gemara and Duff, Tess Amud Beis, and our Duff discussed the halachas for seven situations of chametz. The fifth case was, al ubadak v'lashkach, if a mouse went into a search home with chametz, and the owner searched his house and didn't find it, the law can be derived from a malchus between Rami and the Rabbanan, as it's learned in the Mishnah Nida, regarding a case where a pile of stones containing tumah from a corpse became confused with two other piles of stones that were tahor. If all three piles were searched and still no trace of tumah is found, Rami said, "Kol davish becheskas tumah lom hu betumaso." Anything that has a chazaka being tameh is always assumed to be in its state of tumah. Ad shibedel ucha tumah heichoni, until it becomes known to you where the tumah is. The Chachamim say, "Bodek ad shemigil aselo al karka basula." He should search until he reaches a layer of rock or virgin granite, and if the tomb is not found, he may assume it is no longer there. Rashi explains that he may assume a raven or a mouse came and removed them. In the case of chametz, even Rebbe Meir would agree that the house need not be searched again, since the requirement is only the Rabbanan. Rashi explains that we can assume the mouse ate the chametz. So the minion of Yidden who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into their Czech shul, emergency dialed the chametz busters who came with their ladders. Which reminds us, Rava asks in the case of kikar b'shmei korah, a loaf of bread which is on top of the beams of the ceiling, sarach sulam harido or ein sarach, does one need to get a ladder to take it down or not? Do we say that the Rabban do not require a person to get rid of chametz that's so high up, as no one will accidentally eat it, or maybe it might fall and then someone will eat it? Rava asks further, that if the Rabban were indeed concerned in the above case, what's the halacha if a loaf of bread is in a pit? Does one need to get a ladder to get it out? Do we say that the Rabbanim do not require that, being that it will not come up on its own, or maybe someone might go into the pit to use the bathroom, and when he sees it, he'll eat it? Rava's last question is, what is the halacha if the loaf of bread is in the mouth of a snake? Do we say that one's required to hire a charmer who can get the bread out of the snake's mouth? Or do we say that the chametz did not require one to spend money on doing the search for chametz? The Gemara leaves these questions as a take. So the minion of Yin who couldn't find the chametz the mouse brought into the Czech shul, emergency dialed the chametz busters who came with their ladders. On the morning of the 14th, at the time of Biur. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rav Yehuda says, Botkin or Yudal to be Yudal Shachris Vishasa Biur. We need to search for chametz on the night of the 14th of Nisan, the morning of the 14th of Nisan, at the time that we burn the chametz, which is during the 6th hour of the 14th. The Chachamim say that if one did not search for chametz on the night of the 14th, then he must do it on the 14th, and if he didn't check on the 14th, he needs to do it during the Moed, which Rashi explains to mean during the time that we burn the chametz, meaning during the 6th hour. And if he did not do it during the Moed, he needs to check after the Moed up until dark. The Gemara concludes that the correct understanding of the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda really agrees to the Chachamim that a person is only required to search for chametz one of these three times. The only argument regarding searching after the chametz prohibition goes into effect. Rabbi Yehuda holds that he can't do it any longer, gezer dilma asil mechomine, as a decree against the possibility if he were to find chametz, he might come to eat it. Whereas the Chachamim hold that he may still do it after the time of burning the chametz. Rashi explains this is true only on the afternoon of the 14th, when the chametz is forbidden but not yet subject to a penalty of Karas.
Daf Yudov. So the Simur Daf Yudov is stars, like the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. There were so many dazzling gold stars. Stars, that must be where in Daf Yudov. There were so many dazzling gold stars hanging all over the marketplace of Yerushalayim, full of flour and roasted grain. Which reminds us, the Gemara explained on Daf Yudam Abbas that the reason that Rabbi Yehuda holds that one cannot do Bedika once it becomes forbidden to eat chametz, gezer dima asil mechomine, because of a decree against the possibility that if you were to find chametz, he might come to eat it while handling it. The Gemara asks that we have another Mishnah from Menachem that states that after the Karban HaOmer was brought, the markets of Yerushalayim were already full of flour and roasted grain from the new produce. It's evident that the flour was harvested, ground, and sifted before Pesach. Rav Meir said that the Chachamim did not approve that people had prepared the produce before the Karban HaOmer was brought because they might have eaten it. Rav Yehuda said that they did approve of this. We see that according to Rav Yehuda, we are not concerned that one will eat something forbidden while he's busy with it. Abaye answered, Chadesh b'ilimineh, chametz b'ilimineh. A person is detached from chadesh since he's not accustomed to eat from it all year and therefore not in the habit of picking some up and putting it in his mouth without thinking. A person is not detached from chametz and therefore we are concerned that a person will eat it without thinking after it became prohibited. Two other answers were given. So there were so many dazzling gold stars hanging over the marketplace of Yerushalayim full of flour and roasted grain that people couldn't tell if it was the 5th hour or the 7th hour. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, where Meir says, Ochlin kol chamesh v'sorfin v'tchilas sheish, that one may eat chametz the entire 5th hour of the 14th of Nisan, and one must burn it at the beginning of the 6th hour. Rashi explains that even though midaraisa chametz is permissible to eat the entire 6th hour, the Rabban is forbidden because people might make a mistake and think that the 7th hour is the 6th hour and eat chametz. But the Yehuda disagrees and says, Tolin kol chamesh, we suspend chametz during the 5th hour. Rashi explains that this means that although one may feed chametz to his animals,
during the fifth hour. He may not eat a chametz during this time. Rashi explains Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning that we're concerned that it will be the seventh hour, and one will think that it's the fifth hour and eat chametz. So there are so many dazzling gold stars hanging all over the marketplace of Yerushalayim full of flour and roasted grain that people couldn't tell if it was the fifth hour or the seventh hour. And witnesses to a murder testified it occurred on different days. Which reminds the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Sanhedrin in order to eventually introduce a difficulty with our Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah states that if one witness testifies that someone killed a person on the second of the month, and a second witness testifies that he killed on the third of the month, Idusin Kayemis, their testimony is upheld. The reason is that we assume that they're testifying about the same event, just that the witness who says the second day of the month was aware that the month before him was 30 days, and the witness who testified the third day thought that the previous month was 29 days. However, if one testified that it happened on the third of the month, and the other testified that it happened on the fifth of the month, Idusin Batela, their testimony is disqualified. As Rashi explains, it can't be that a person was 2 days off in their count of the date.
Daf Yud Beis. So the Simur Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers. 12 brothers. That must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a Mishnah from Sanhedrin Daf Mem Amun Aleph that states that in regard to witnesses who testify that they saw someone kill, the court would check the trustworthiness of each witness with 7 questions about when and where they saw the killing. During which Shemitah cycle, which year of the Shemitah cycle, which month of the year, which day of the month, which day of the week, which hour of the day, in which place? These questions are in a category called chakiros. There are other questions, chabadikos, which Rashi explains are such questions as, what did he kill with, a sword or an axe? The Gemara on Ardaf asks what the practical difference is between chakiros and bedikos, and answers that regarding chakiros, if one witness answers that he doesn't know, their testimony is disqualified. Because it's testimony that cannot be refuted through hazama. Since the second set of witnesses will be unable to prove his testimony was false by testifying he was somewhere else at the time of the crime. If one of the witnesses cannot answer one of the bedikos, their testimony is still accepted, since their testimony can be refuted through hazama. Rashi explains that whether the accused was wearing black clothes or white ones has no bearing on the time and location of the offense. So the 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions about the patrons who came for breakfast throughout the morning, which reminds us, the Gemara brings up rice that lists the times that different people eat in the morning. Sharishono Machal Ludim, the first hour of the day is when a cannibal tribe called the Ludim eat because they're gluttons. Shnia Machal Listim, the second hour is when thieves eat, who are also gluttons but get up later since they're up at night. Shlishi is Machal Yorshim, the third hour is when inheritors eat since they do not have to work. Revis Machal Polin, the fourth hour is when workers eat because they have to carry out their work first. Chamish is Machal Talmidei Chachamim, the fifth hour is when Talmidei Chachamim eat since they're busy learning they should wait until the last possible time. Shishi is Machal Adam, the sixth hour is when all other people eat. The Braisa concludes, Mekan ve'eloh kazorik evan l'chemes. One who eats past this hour is like one who throws a stone into a leather sack. Rashi and Shabbos and Daf Yud Amun Aleph explains this to mean either that it's harmful to the body or that it's not harmful to the body, but it's not helpful either. Abai said this was stated only the lo tam midi b'tzafet, when he did not eat anything at all in the morning. However, if he ate something in the morning, this doesn't apply. So the 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions about the patrons who came for breakfast throughout the morning recognized the picture of the suspect, but some said he came before Nates, and others said he came at the beginning of Nates. Which reminds us, Rav Simi Bar Ashi said that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin regarding a discrepancy in testimony was only taught b'shavos, regarding discrepancies in the hours of the day. However, if one witness testifies that he saw someone kill before the rising of the sun, and one witness testifies that he saw the person kill after the sun rose, Edusim Batela, their testimony is disqualified. The Gemara asks that this is obvious since people do not get confused between these two time periods. The Gemara changes the wording to Abal Echad Omer Kodem Anei Tzachama, Ve'echad Omer Betoch Anei Tzachama, Edusim Betela. However, if one witness testifies that he saw something before the rising of the sun, and one witness testifies that he saw something during the rising of the sun, which Rashi explains to mean at the beginning of the sun's rising, their testimony is disqualified. The Gemara says that this too is obvious and then clarifies that one might have thought that they're saying the same thing, and the one who said it occurred at Nates was present at the glow before sunrise, and it was merely a radiance he saw, and he mistakenly thought the sun was already rising. Rav Simi Bar Ashi is coming to say that no one would make such a mistake. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which daf do we learn why Rabbi Yehuda was concerned that one might come to eat chametz after the bedika, but not chadash before the omer was brought? That's on daf Yudolf. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn the different times that people eat in the morning? That's on daf
Yud Beis. Good. Number three, which daf do we learn? The Gemara leaves the question as a take. If one needs to climb up a ladder to remove chametz from a ceiling beam, that's on daf Yud. Good. Number four, which daf do we learn? Four reasons why a candle is used for the bedika and not a torch. That's on daf Ches. Good. Number five, which daf do we learn? If one A testifies that an event took place before Nates and the other one said it occurred during Nates, their edus is batel. That's on daf Yud Beis. Good. Number six, which daf do we learn? A chuda leaves over some bread and doesn't leave over any meat. That's on daf Tes. Good. Number seven, which daf do we learn? Because when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, how much tahor truma should be left over? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number eight, which daf do we learn? The Rav Meir says chametz becomes forbidden with the Rabban from the end of the fifth hour, and Rav Yudah says at the end of the fourth hour. That's on daf Yidav. Good. Number nine, which daf is it that we learn from the incident of Yochanan Chukukah? The Rebbe holds, like Yehuda, that chametz becomes prohibited after the fourth hour. That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. And number ten, which daf do we learn? If one witness testifies a murder took place on the third of the month, and the other says the fifth, the edus is batel, it's nullified. That's on daf Yud. Good. Now we go to the three bonus questions. Number one, which daf do we learn about the importance of saying Ashrei three times, and someone becomes a Ben Olam Haba? That's on daf Dalet and Brachas. Good. Number two, which daf do we learn about the Dalet Rishuyos on Shabbos? That's on daf Vav in Shabbos. Good. And number three, which daf do we learn about the Midos of Beis Hillel? That's on daf Yud Gimel and Erevin. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.